This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
It is The Rob Carson Show, and we've got much to talk about this hour, including the lunatics that run the asylum at NBC. It clicked in yesterday. During the show, I understand why Ronna McDaniel was fired after she was hired in NBC. And it should be very obvious. They just don't care about balance. They say that they want balance and all of that, and they want to, you know, we're fine with a Republican on here. Let me just tell you this. MSNBC has Republicans on their airwaves. One of them used to be the RNC chair. His name is Michael Steele. They also have Joe Scarborough. He was actually a member of Congress. He also used to fill in for the Rush Limbaugh program. Both of them, there is no daylight between their beliefs and those of Joy Reid and those of Rachel Maddow. They claim to be Republican. This is actually the ultimate example of Republicans in name only. You have to be leftist doctrinaires. That's what you have to be to work at NBC or MSNBC. That's all there is to it. You cannot ever in your past said anything that the deep state Democrat Party is and was misinformation and disinformation, including the 2020 election. It cannot be allowed. Because all of that was created to put Joe Biden in office and take down Donald Trump. And MSNBC and NBC, they are that. They are tools of the state. They are not journalistic endeavors. They are not entertainment endeavors. They are state. They're statist. They are run by the state. That's what they do. They listen to the state. They take the state's talking points. That they have massive staffs of journalists is a joke, because none of the truth gets out. It's all what the state and the people at MSNBC and NBC say it is. That's it. There's your explanation. That Ronna McDaniel said that, oh, yeah, there's some problems with the 2020 election. That sealed her fate. And that the management of MSNBC and NBC fired Ronna McDaniel because the hosts threw a hissy fit is exactly what happens on campuses when spoiled, entitled, childish leftists throw a hissy fit, demand this and demand that, and the management capitulates. The universities capitulate. We saw this at the University of Missouri a couple years ago when Black Lives Matter was on the campus, and the chancellor and the university president both resigned because they didn't have any balls. That's the same thing. That's what leftists do. That's why I came up with the expression candy aisle kids. Okay, these are candy aisle kids. When I was a kid, if you were going through the grocery store with your mom and you went to the checkout, all of the checkouts had candy. You know why? Because, parents are susceptible to buying their kids treats at the counter when you're standing there waiting for the next person. So it's candy, 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 crappy magazine. You're never going to buy otherwise, but you just buy that crap, you know. And when I was growing up, if I asked for a candy bar and my mom didn't want me to have a candy bar, she'd say, no, you can't have a candy bar. And I would say, but I want a candy bar. And she'd say, you're not going to get a candy bar, and we're going to have a talk when we get to the car. And then, because parents couldn't say no, and this, I guess, has started with millennial parents, parents of millennials, couldn't handle the pressure of your kid throwing a fit and throwing down, dropping down on the floor and kicking and screaming and all that crap, and say, I'll buy you candy. And then they created candy aisles and non-candy aisles for parents who couldn't parent their children. Did that make sense to you? All right. Oh, by the way, there's this headline here. And you know what? I'm not one to say a broad sweeping generalization about everybody in a generation, because I'm a Gen Xer. And when I was in my 20s in the early 90s and the mid 90s, I was called a slacker. Now, I'd never been a slacker in my life. It pissed me off because I started, I mean, literally, I was like selling stuff door to door when I was 10 years old. I did anything I could do to make money. I mowed lawns. I shoveled snow, whatever I had to do. So it really made me mad. But new report, this is from Zero Hedge. Tyler Durden wrote this. New report has found that 68% of small businesses owners say Gen Z employees are the least reliable. 71% say they are most likely to have a mental health issue in a workplace. Well, yeah, when you destroy their education, when you divide them by race, say that CRT is real, and white kids should be hated, and black kids should hate white kids, and black kids don't have a chance to do anything in their lives, and then masculinity is toxic, and then if you're a little girl and you're upset, well, it's clear because you need a penis, you know, and you need to become a boy. Could you see why maybe? And you combine that with 2 years of idiotic COVID closures and nonsense. Any reason? Anybody? Anybody here? Fortunately, a lot of Gen Zers are saying screw that, and they've understood the value of human connection. I see that with my daughter. 100%. But anyway, one of the employees surveyed spoke of Gen Z's absolute delusion, complete lack of common sense, zero critical reasoning or basic analytical skills. A lot of that happens to just be young, right? When you're young, you're kind of that way. According to the Freedom Economy Index report conducted by Public Square and Red Balloon, less than 4% of those surveyed said Gen Z was the generation that most aligns with their workspace culture. 62% said Gen Z were the most likely to create division and toxicity in the workplace. And it's because, you know, they're being told that if they pitch a fit, that management will capitulate no matter what you say and what you do. And everything you do makes you a phobe. Everything you do makes you have an ism, you know. And now employers are going, yeah, I don't think I want to hire that person. I told you the other day, if I got a resume that had someone's chosen pronouns in the heading, the resume would go in the trash. You'd never get a call. You'd never get a return of an email. Nothing. Because what that says to me is you're just going to cause problems. If I call you the wrong pronoun, you're just going to cause problems. So go work somewhere else. Ain't going to have anything to do with it. 57% of those surveys said Gen Z runs the most risk of creating a workplace lawsuit. Yeah. Newsweek just came out with defense of Gen Z, citing two experts who say the kids are just misunderstood. Dan Space. An HR consultant, Gen Z is the most informed, confident, and no BS generation because they saw what happened to the millennials before them. Well, there's a degree of, to some of those, there's a degree of that. Like for instance, my daughter, she doesn't drink at all, never had a drink in her life, doesn't even care. Probably because, you know, I drank a lot, all right, that's part of it. She doesn't go out clubbing, she doesn't smoke weed, she and her boyfriend have been together for 3 years. They recognize the value of human interaction because they had it taken away from them during COVID, all of the nonsense. So there's a degree of that too. But again, if you use pronouns in your resume, you're never going to get hired. It's more than most businesses want to deal with. They want people who just work. They want people who do a great job. There you go. I had mentioned a new Harvard-Harris poll. Number one issue in America is the border, all right? Everybody understands what's going on at the border. Biden's floated fix to the border is potentially expanding a program that could allow 4,000 undocumented immigrants every year to avoid deportation, obtain a green card, remain in the U.S. We all know what this is about. Inflation still tops immigration in terms of issue affecting voters most personally. 38% saying they most personally impacted with the cost crisis. And it hurts. It's really, really bad. And I know this, as I said last hour, I returned to poverty. I was a radio, a personality in Washington, D.C. I was upper middle class and I was never rich. And got let go and nobody would give me a shot. Lost our house and we moved to Kansas City and they fired me 2 years into a 3-year deal because I made too much money. We had to go on food stamps. I mean, really, and I hated to admit it. You know, I hate to admit it, but I had to return to poverty. That's like I said, you don't know how little you have until you have to sell it to pay rent. And I did. And there are a lot of people going through that right now. So I know what you're going through. And Washington, D.C. isn't listening to you. Not one little bit. Not one little bit. This is pretty interesting. Steve Bannon, he talked about the New York Times. The New York Times literally admits in a new piece by Katie Rogers that Barack Obama is running the show. Yeah, running the show. And this is kind of a related story. But in Chicago, they wanted to replace Columbus Drive with Barack Obama Drive. Did you know that? And they went like Barack Obama's done anything for the kids in Chicago. He hadn't given a crap about them. They haven't done anything for the poor black kids in Chicago, killing each other 13 times the national average. Michelle Obama couldn't soil her hands, but they have no problem building a billion-dollar library, presidential library, tearing down some homes to do so. Well, apparently, the Joint Civic Committee of Italian Americans blasted the proposal, rebranding it offensive last week, and basically said, no. And now Ward 4 Chicago City Council member Alderman Lamont Robinson is considering alternatives. I think it's kind of funny. But here is Steve Bannon talking about who's running the show in D.C. and does it surprise anybody?
Good going, Katie. Katie Rogers has a blockbuster story. Guess what? Obama's running the deal. This is not War Room or Gateway Pundit. Revolver didn't come up with this. Matt Boyle didn't break it.
No.
It's the New York Times. The New York frickin' Times puts it all out there. It's Obama, and how Obama has, you know, never really been a fan of Biden's. But he's got to save the transformation of this country. If he called it, this is all Obama's deal. Jack Posobiec and these guys have said for years, Obama's running the deal. These guys are right here running the deal. Katie Rogers puts it right out. Obama is directly, according to the New York Times, Katie Rogers.
Yeah.
He's directly calling folks in the White House, kind of giving them orders. Say, how's it going? Hey, have you thought about this?
Yeah.
You got to get focused here because Trump and MAGA are coming.
Mm.
Come on, dude. This whole thing's wired.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been saying this for a while. It's like, no kidding. No kidding. And all these vacations that Joe Biden goes on, I'm the only person in America saying this. Joe Biden goes out of town every weekend to places they don't keep a visitor log. Ding, ding, ding. That's all you need to know. They're doing all the work off the books. Duh. Well, where do they keep all the classified documents? Duh. So everybody should understand it. Everybody should understand it. Oh, Donald Trump is in New York City for the funeral of a police officer today. Joe Biden is at Radio City, where he's going to be there with Queen Latifah and Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama is going to be there. Because you know what? That's who they play to. Radio City and the elite in New York. It's $10,000 a seat, by the way, if you want to get in there. Meanwhile, I want you to hear this. Tucker Carlson did an interview with the father of the soldier, one of the soldiers that was killed at in Afghanistan when we withdrew. His name is Steve Nakui. And he was the guy who was in the cheering section in the State of the Union and yelled and was removed and summarily arrested. And Tucker Carlson sat down to talk with him last night. And, you know, I've talked about how badly the American people are treated by this administration. Lahaina, East Palestine. All of us who are suffering out of work, all of us who, like, for instance, black people in New York City and homeless people in New York City stepped over to put up illegals in the Roosevelt Hotel that you can't afford to stay in, giving them gift cards worth thousands of dollars, $10,000, $350 a week, which if you had that to spend on groceries, you'd be living high on the hog. So the federal government is run by elites. They don't give a crap about you. And worse yet, they don't give a crap about the families, the Gold Star families, who had children die defending America thousands of miles away. And I'm going to share his interview with Tucker Carlson on the other side of this break, all right? And I think you're going to be, wow, not surprised, but I think it's going to make you think even less of the people in Washington, D.C., particularly the demented old man who's the president. Let's take a break and come back. This is The Rob Carson Show.
Let's-
Let's make 2024 the year we turn back from nonsense to common sense. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show. By the way, Sam Bankman-Fried has been sentenced to 25 years in prison. 25 years in prison for Sam Bankman-Fried, who is dealing in cryptocurrency. Apparently, he's already started dealing in crypto cigarettes. He's been smuggling them into prison in his digital rectum, is what I heard. It's just something I heard. I'm not sure if it's true. Goodbye, Sam. Goodbye, Sammy. Sammy's going to be my age when he gets out, by the way. So that's cool. You know, I'm kind of peaking, if you know what I mean. Yeah, pretty much. So the collapse of the bridge in Baltimore, we're still debating as to what happened there. We know it's an election year. We know that the communist Chinese have been working to strike us digitally. And I've got details on that coming up, hopefully, and later in the show. But clearly, a supply chain has been disrupted. And I've been talking about this. It's going to happen again. And it's going to be intentional. I don't know if this was, but regardless, it's a supply chain crisis. And, you know, it's bad enough if you're not getting your car, or it's bad enough if you're not getting your gas, your God in heaven. What about your meds? What about emergency medicine? Well, the wellness company, they've got the meds you need in case there is a crisis. They've created an emergency medical kit. They've got one that you can take with you, a travel kit as well. Contains the meds you need. Everything from a toothache to an infection to maybe another, COVID. You know, amoxicillin, Z-Pak, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, all of those and more. And you just go online, you ask some questions, medical questions, they assemble it for you, send it to you, and you're taken care of. So no supply chain crisis now. And all you got to do is go to twc.health/Carson. 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 And you are going to get the medical kit for 10% off. And they've got a bunch of them. Also, if you're worried about the COVID vaccine, they have a detoxification protocol. That's really important. If you're worried about the vaccine, I'm not saying y'all are. TWC.health/Carson. So Tucker Carlson interviewed Steve Nakui. He lost his son on the day that we withdrew from Afghanistan with 13 soldiers. And here is the introduction to that conversation.
No, so we met him at Dover when we did the dignified transfer, but that was anything but dignified. I mean, it's kind of the same like if I was drunk and then I killed your kid in a drunk driving accident, and then I went to you and said, well, you know what? I know how you feel. I lost my son. And this is how he was at Dover. So
he talked about himself?
He talked about his son. So even in Dover, when we had first met, you know, when we had met him in the dignified transfer, he said, hey, look, you know, I understand what you're going through. We lost our son, Bo, as well.
Yeah, he did that with everybody. You know, we have illegals coming to our country. They're given $10,000 gift cards in a year. They're given five-star hotel accommodations. Listen how they treated the Gold Star families brought to Dover to welcome their children's bodies back from Afghanistan.
That whole thing was us being used. I mean, I wanted to wear a suit when I went to this dignified transfer for my son. And I don't know if you remember in like the 70s, those yellow school buses that had the like Tijuana tuck and roll, you know, you're going up and down. There's no shocks. You can't put down the windows.
Yeah.
It's in Dover, which is like the most humid place you've ever been in your life.
Yeah.
They transferred us in these like buses, like all the families. They put us up in a Motel 6. Had fecal matter on the walls, had cockroaches everywhere. All right, now we all got into these buses and we're all sweating. They drove us to Dover. You know, it was just trying to show like, oh, we're honoring these parents and that's the end of it.
Yeah, that's the end of it. Here's a little bit more from Steve Nakui.
We've never had any contact with the White House or Biden, and we have reached out McCall and several families have reached out to, you know, maybe have a round table with them, see what their thinking was, anything, you know, honor our children.
Yes.
Something. And they just refuse. I don't know why they hate us so much.
Because you're a living reminder of their failure.
But in America, we're supposed to, you know, address those failures. I mean, he had an opportunity that he could have really rallied the country behind him.
Yes.
Very easily, you know.
But this is why Joe Biden will not be reelected in November. Dr. Ben Carson joins us next. Paging Dr. Ben on the Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson. I want to tell you about a remarkable product called Field of Greens, the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you to go on this journey with me. Literally, one scoop a day of Field of Greens. It tastes great. It's completely improved my life. This is nutrition the way nature intended. This vegetable blend has given me more energy throughout the day. I'm sleeping better throughout the night. I'm feeling better and looking healthier overall. And if you don't believe me, look at my social media. Looking pretty hot. Thank you very much. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. My listeners get 15% off with your first order and free rush shipping. This is great stuff. It tastes good. I eat it every day. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Newsmax. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code Newsmax. You're going to love this stuff. It is the Rob Carson Show. We have a very special guest on the Newsmax hotline. Haven't talked to him in a while. He is an accomplished neurosurgeon, also former HUD secretary. I haven't spoken to him since I tragically found out through a DNA test that we are not blood relatives, even though we do have the same last name. I thought the family resemblance was fairly obvious, but I've moved on. Dr. Ben Carson, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. And let my father's name was Rob Carson, too.
Well, I don't think that's possible. First of all, a blessed Easter weekend to you, my friend. I think Easter means a lot to all of us, maybe a little bit more than it has for many years when you look at the state of the country. I got to tell you, doctor, I know it's hard to be optimistic, and I try it every single day. And there are days when I come in and I hit this microphone and I can't find anything funny, and I can't find anything, but I do. And the one thing that gets me through it is my faith, not only in God, but also the American people. And I believe that we're in the middle of a great awakening, despite all of these speed bumps in front of us. I believe good things are coming.
It's always darkest before the dawn.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes it has to be pretty dark before people see the light. And I think that darkness has appeared, and I think people are waking up. And they're seeing what's going on and recognizing that we have a lot to lose, and we need to protect it.
Franklin
knew what he was talking about when he came out of that Constitution Hall in 1787. He was asked, what do we have here, a monarchy or a republic? He said a republic, if you can keep it.
Yeah, and you know, I think that we've been on this road to a Maoist, Stalinist revolution for a very long time.
Yeah.
And this is the first time it's been tried in a country that has a First Amendment backed up by a Second Amendment. And they did their level best to take down that First Amendment. And they succeeded in many ways by closing down our churches. That's when I knew we were in trouble. When they said we couldn't go to church, I said, oh, man, this is bigger than you can ever imagine. But
that's a Marxist goal, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Get God out of our school systems and out of our government and out of every part of our life, so that you can be dependent upon the government.
I know, but I will also tell you that I think this has caused a great awakening, particularly for those who have been so devoted to the Democrat Party, particularly people of color. The Democrat Party has successfully been able to distract from its own racist past, its own racist policies, by giving people of color, you know, throwing them the crumbs. And now they're beginning to realize that this government, and I'm talking both parties, don't care about them. All they care is about a vote. I've said forever that Democrats will court people of color until the election day. When the election's over, they get up the next morning, leave some money on the dresser, and leave, figuratively.
That certainly has been the case in the past. And, you know, when I was secretary, I thought it would be easy to get people on board with the programs that would bring people out of poverty and make them self-sufficient. Not at all. There were so many people who are entrenched in the idea of keeping people dependent because that's where they derive their power. This is a real problem.
Well, you were knee-deep in it as the HUD director, and we see now, you know, the federal government will put people up in lousy, stinking housing projects, and I'm sure you saw many of them, but they will put people of color and others, and listen, I'm come from a white poor background. There are a lot of similarities, by the way. In fact, I would venture to say, but despite a few cultural differences, we're a whole lot alike. I mean, we are a whole lot of white, a lot alike. But then you see our government can come up money to send illegals to the Roosevelt Hotel and give them $10,000 gift cards. And I think people are just going, whoa, 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 hold on a second. You had this money to do that, and I'm living in hell in Chicago? I'm living in hell in New York? I think that was a real eye-opening experience.
I think you're exactly right about that, and I hope that... you know, the conservatives will take advantage of that by making themselves available to the people in those environments and talking about the whole concept of self-worth and excellence and achievement and talking about the opportunities that exist in our country. I was talking to, you know, some foreign nationals yesterday who were doing very well. And I said, you know, why, in fact, do people who come here from other countries tend to do so much better than the people who were born here? And, of course, the answer was because we see the opportunities.
Yes.
And a lot of people who are here already feel victimized. And, you know, particularly in the case of the wealth gap that they talk about between blacks and whites, it doesn't exist when you're talking about Nigerians who came here, Ghanaians who came here. Because what do you see in those families? First of all, bachelor's degree is the baseline. Big emphasis on education and a big emphasis on family and values. And if you take traditional black American families who have those values, there's no wealth gap either. Maybe we should be looking at some things other than just skin color.
Well, exactly, 100%. Martin Luther King said it the best, and unfortunately, we pivoted away from that and focused on skin color. I was watching Joy Reid last night. Dear God in heaven, she's got such a racial chip on her shoulder, and she made last night the bridge collapse in Baltimore about race. The bridge workers were Hispanic, and so she thinks everybody who works a bridge or does anything in America that requires physical labor are Hispanic. She doesn't realize how racist that is. And then somebody made the comment about Brandon Scott, his terrible mayor in Baltimore, being a DEI hire as a joke, right? Because we're seeing what happens with DEI hires. You get a Supreme Court justice who thinks that the First Amendment gets in the way of the federal government, and that sort of thing when you focus on race. And she focused, and she basically said that Republicans hate black people and the whole deal. And to me, I just think that whole mantra is wearing very thin on people. Really, really thin on people.
It's completely illogical. And just to give you an example of how illogical the whole DEI stuff is, you know, I'm the chairman of the Nominating Governance Committee of a Fortune 500 company. And the Glass Lewis people recently said, don't vote for Carson because that company only has 25% women on their board. Because we added somebody to the board, it made it 25%.
Yeah.
Now, if they got rid of me, which fortunately the stockholders didn't pay them any attention, mm-hmm. Then they would have a diversity issue.
You know, and even worse, if you would have claimed to be a woman, identify as a woman, you could have been, you know, had a major lawsuit
right
there, too. I mean, it would have been big. You could check two boxes on that, Dr. Ben Carson. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, we look like just ridiculous people to others around the world. I was in Europe in the fall, and I was asking them, what do you think about the United States? And the general answer I got was, we think you've lost your mind.
Yes, yes.
And I think they may be right about that.
Well, you were at Johns Hopkins forever. Look what's happened to that prestigious institution with DEI. I mean, how can DEI exist in medicine? How can it exist in medicine when you hate the person you're treating if they just happen to be white?
It is beyond. You know, the universities ought to be standing right up at the forefront of fighting against this, and they should be pushing for excellence and raising standards. And, you know, for them to buy into this is extremely disappointing, although some of them are starting to wake up now.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that is good. I've been to a number of universities recently, and the kids are so enthusiastic and tuned in to what was going on. We had to turn kids away in several universities because there just was no room, and the fire marshals wouldn't let them crowd the whole place. But it gives you some hope that maybe our young people are starting to recognize that this road that we're going down is not going to be very promising for them. Look how hard it is for a young couple to even buy a home now.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
The American dream is fading very quickly. It doesn't have to. And all the things that are happening in our society right now, they're self-inflicted.
Yes. So
they didn't have to. The crime that's going on, you know, we don't have to let people get away with stealing as long as it's less than $900 worth of stuff, or not prosecuting criminals for violent acts. And obviously all that's going to do is increase the level of criminal activity in our society.
Yeah.
And eventually get to a point, which I think is the goal, where people will say, this system doesn't work, we need something else.
Yeah.
System works fine if you go ahead and take care of the laws that are already there.
Well, and you know what else really insults me and insults the country is when you tell a black kid that they can't succeed in this country because of institutional racism. And I say, well, what does that do for Wilma Rudolph and Jesse Owens and, you know, all of the, I mean, Louis Armstrong and all of the great jurists, all of the great scientists, all of the great entertainers, all of the great innovators in history that have come, not exclusively, but by God in heaven, if you look at the most successful people of color who are beacons of inspiration throughout world history, they went through a lot more than this current generation, and they were able to get it done, and it insults their memory.
Well, you know, the left doesn't want to hear about those people anymore. They just want to hear about the victims, you know,
it's,
the victim mentality. And you can't do this because this person is in your way. You know, when I was growing up, you know, my mother would never allow us to make excuses.
Nope.
No matter what was going on, she would always say, do you have a brain? And if the answer was yes, you could have figured out your way out of that. You know, it doesn't matter what somebody else did.
It was funny the other day, my kids, we were sitting around, we're playing this game. I don't remember what it was, but you ask questions, and they're kind of personal questions, and you could choose to answer or not, right? And we're sitting around kind of getting, and one of the questions was, what class, it was, did you ever fail a class, and what was the class? And they turned to me and I said, no, never. And my daughter was like, really? And my son goes, oh, I've seen his report cards. He has never failed a class. Never. I mean, failure. If I came home with an F on my report card, I don't even want to imagine what I probably wouldn't be talking to you today.
or even a C for that matter.
Oh, man. I got two C's in college. They were both for stupid classes. One of them was intro to French and the other one was intro to math thought. And I was about to jump off a bridge. And I turned it around.
You think about what this country has contributed to the world because we had an environment that encouraged innovation and entrepreneurship. You know, 90% of the major life-changing inventions over the last 150 to 200 years came out of this country because we had that kind of environment. And if we now go back to something where there's no exceptionalism, there's no reward for exceptionalism, everybody's the same, we'll go down the same pathway as everybody else did.
You know, I think about this. You know, the United States brought us jazz and rock and roll and blues music and baseball. They took cricket and made it into a game that didn't stink. They took rugby, made it into pro football. They invented all. It's a wonderful, glorious place. And if the world does exist without America, then it's just not a place worth living in. We've got to wrap things up here. What do you got planned for the Easter weekend, my friend?
Having a lot of family. We got like 20 family members coming.
Wow. Are you a ham person? Do you like ham?
I'm mostly a vegetarian.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you could do the fake ham, I guess. You could, you know.
Actually, some of the texturized vegetable proteins are very good. You should try them sometime.
Yeah, but they add so much stuff to it. One other question. I got a question. I saw a terrific, and this was a health relay question, a terrific interview with a woman in Great Britain. She is a nurse, whatever, and she said the most important thing you can do to maintain health into your advanced years is resistance training, some sort of using your body weight or weight. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? Oh, crud, he dropped off. Holy crap. Well, that just kind of stinks. Son of a gun. I was going to get his answer for that. But anyway, well, we'll have to get him on again. I don't think we'll be able to get him back on because we're running up against a hard break. That's tough. See, whenever the questions get really tough like that, maybe, you know, this gets interfered by the government or something. I don't know. It just dropped off. But anyway, Dr. Ben Carson, how was that, huh? If you want to hear that interview again, just go to the podcast. Just go to your favorite podcast platform, because I thought the interview until that very second that he dropped off was really, really good. So check it out. Let's take a break and come back. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show. It is The Rob Carson Show. So Sam Bankman-Fried has been, his name Fried. That's kind of ironic. He's going to be in jail for 25 years. They've been calling him SBF, which now apparently stands for somebody's boyfriend. That's what I've heard anyway. Our anchor station, WCBM Baltimore, is celebrating its 100th anniversary today. And so Jim Gossett put this together for this.
My favorite station turned 100.
100.
Everyone is so proud of them.
Come on.
Since 1924 here in Baltimore. 680 WCBM.
Come on.
They've got Sean Casey and Bruce Elliott.
They do the morning show.
Kim Klasick's on at 9 a.m.
She's running for Congress.
Rob from 12 to 3 and then Sean Hannity.
Just Rob.
Baltimore's WCBM.
Rob Carson Show, by the way.
The great one Mark Levin comes on at 7.
Used his name, what the heck?
People just can't get enough of him.
Never mind.
It's the greatest station in the nation. Baltimore's WCBM.
There you go.
They're on WCBM 680.
Yeah. There you go, Jim Gossett. Jim Gossett. Happy birthday to WCBM. WCBM. You know, we've been talking about these squatters. Squatters moving into, Democrat-run cities. They move in. They can't kick them out and all that. My mom used to, when we had rental property, she'd just move in. She'd move in. She'd change the locks. She'd sit there and say, Mom, your new roommate. And they would move right out. And some people are doing that now. They'll move into their own house and say, I'm a squatter, too. And I think it's a great idea. What about virtual squatting? Not so easy when somebody steals your deed. Not so easy when somebody uses your identity and transfers the deed to your property. Not so easy when somebody takes a loan out, a home equity loan on your home using your equity. How do you prevent it? How do you find out if it's happening? Well, all you got to do is go to Home Title Lock. Home Title Lock will give you a free comprehensive scan of your home's title. 30 days of legendary Home Title Lock protection. All right? And I'll tell you, I tried it on the house we got. We've been in this house 4 years. I think we were here for a year and a half. I did. And I found pings happening on my property, on my deed. And we took care of it. I still have Home Title Lock protection. Occasionally, I'll get a little email notice. Is this, this, and this, and this? And it's really cool. So here's what you need to do. Go HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Carson, HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Carson, if you want to get signed up for Home Title Lock. Oh, did you hear about this? John Stewart. And I like John Stewart. He's a pretty funny guy. It's amazing how funny you can be when you got 25 people writing for you. My half-hour show on Newsmax is completely written by me. Thank you very much. And the ratings went up 81% last year to this year. So there you go. Apparently, while he was talking about Donald Trump overvaluing his properties and calling Trump a liar and all that, looks like John Stewart may have overvalued his own New York home by $16 million. 2014, the comedian sold his 6,280-foot square foot Tribeca duplex to financier Parag to financier Parag Pandey for $17 million, but according to 2013-2014 assessor records obtained by the New York Post, the property had an estimated market value of only $1.88 million. The actual assessor valuation for the property for taxes was $847,000. So it looks like while John was living there, he was cheating on his taxes. And then when he sold it, he overvalued it. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, how the mighty fall. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson. I have been eager to tell you about Factor Meals. Remember this. There are a ton of meal services that require you to assemble the ingredients, and that's all fine. But time is such a valuable commodity. Why not have excellent chef-crafted and dietitian-approved meals delivered to your door? Factor has 35 different options a week to choose from. My wife and I love them. My son has a new place. He loves them. Options include calorie smart, vegan, veggie. How about turkey chili with zucchini? Sun-dried tomato chicken, tomato goat cheese cavatappi pasta. Most microwave meals are frozen and they look like crappy airline food. Not Factor Meals. Factor has two-minute meals that are ready to eat whenever you are. I love their smoothies and their shots, especially their ginger cayenne shot. Gets me going every day. It's a rush. No prep, no mess. Factor Meals are ready to heat and eat. Head to factormeals.com/newsmax50. Use promo code newsmax50. Get 50% off. factormeals.com/newsmax50 and get 50% off. factormeals.com/newsmax50. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but things are pretty volatile in this country. A lot of people are having to come back out of retirement to work. That number's gone up 400%. Because we don't know which way the stock market's going to go, which way interest rates are going to go. Silver has historically been considered a safe haven asset during times of market volatility. When uncertainty rises, investors often turn to precious metals like silver to prepare wealth and hedge against economic instability. Physical silver provides you with a tangible asset that you can hold on to in your hand. CSN Mint has been providing certified U.S. Mint collectible coins and precious metals for over 20 years, and they are one of the most trusted names in tangible coin assets. Every product you purchase includes the original certificate of authenticity or is certified and graded by a third-party grader to ensure origin and purity. With CSN Mint, you can build your silver and gold coin collection with confidence. And if you're going to collect something, it might as well be money itself, right? So go to csnmint.com/newsmax. Use promo code Newsmax, and you'll get one free silver eagle over $30 in value with your purchase of $75 or more. Browse the entire catalog at csnmint.com/newsmax and find out what works for you, your budget, and your family. That's csnmint.com/newsmax and use promo code Newsmax, okay?
This is the Rob Carson Show.
This is hour number three of the Rob Carson Show. We have much to get to this hour that I think you'll find quite entertaining and informative. Also, Scott Lobato, you know who he is? He's an artist and an activist in New York. And he his most recent protest is throwing pizza, which, you know, I'll forgive him this time. But he's throwing pizza at City Hall because City Hall wants to restrict the use of or over-regulate coal-fired and wood-fired pizza ovens in New York, which is sacrilege. And I'm not screwing around. It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. You walk through Manhattan, and every street you're on, you smell weed. You smell weed mixed with the smell of urine, mixed with the smell of automobile exhaust. And you think about the thousands of cars in New York City versus some pizza ovens. Are you out of your mind? So we're going to talk to him at the bottom of the hour. All right, we said, the thing that you will discover about New York. And I had not been in New York until 3 years ago. I'd never been to New York City before. And, you know, because a country boy. And, you know, and I also lived all over the country. But I work. I don't take time off. I don't travel. So I go there. And the one thing about New York, you go into a pizza place. Yeah, a little pizza place, an independent, owned, and operated pizza place. What you're going to discover is that no matter what you order, it's going to be the best pizza you've ever had in your life. If you go to Sbarro, not going to happen. If you go to Papa John's, nothing against them. Ain't going to happen. But, woof. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. By the way, the number is 800-922-6680. This is kind of funny because, you know, Easter's coming up here. And New Jersey politician under fire for sharing a meme that calls Easter eggs aborted chicken babies that are painted in drag. I wonder if they'll have the eggs read at little chicks' classrooms. You know, anyway, so a New Jersey councilwoman getting scrambled, thank you, for sharing a meme that called Easter eggs aborted chicken babies that are painted in drag, with critics claiming the cuckoo post was anti-Christian. No, listen, and I'm sure this woman is left of center. They aren't aborted chicken babies. They are clumps of chicken cells. They don't even have the potential to be a chicken. All right? And if you ask the question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, the egg, but not in this case, because it's just a clump of cells. Paula Gilligan, little buddy, a councilwoman in the tiny Bergen County of Glen Rock, said in a statement posted on the municipal website that Sunday that she shared the apparently tongue-in-cheek rainbow-colored meme to her Instagram stories because she was mocking pro-life personhood laws. Personhood laws. Yeah, well, you... You did a really bad job of it, because you got to kind of understand humor, and I guess you don't. Anyway, so she's being criticized for making an anti-Christian thing. Here she goes. In the post, she said Easter eggs are aborted chicken baby painted. Struck a nerve with a wealthy town of about 12,000 perched 20 miles north of west of Manhattan. This is a happy Easter message we get from Paula Gilligan. One person wrote in an Instagram response to Gilligan's message. In her statement, the councilwoman said the personal Instagram posts don't constitute the official news opinions or beliefs of the mayor or city council or the borough of Glen Rock. So I'll just leave it alone at that and play our Hunter Biden Easter song. How's that sound? Gather the kids around the radio here. Let's go hunting.
Here comes Hunter chasing tail, left behind a money trail. Hippity hoppity, prison's on the way.
I doubt it.
His laptop's filled with videos.
Hey.
If it was yours, to jail you'd go. But he's protected by the DOJ. There was coke found in a locker.
What?
He had hookers, 1, 2, 3.
And 4.
He flashed online an illegal gun and took cash from the CCP.
Yes, he did.
His artwork, how it really sucks. But people pay Hunter big bucks. Everybody knows it's bribery. He'll hook up with his daddy Joe. They'll rake in some Chinese dough for their many crimes they never pay.
There you go. Well, hopefully it'll result in a lost election. By the way, RFK Jr.'s progressive VP pick Nicole Shanahan will doom Biden re-election. This is Paul DeQuinoy. He's the president of the Palm Beach Freedom Institute. I said this yesterday, by the way. It's going to draw from Hunter's or from Biden's ticket. You know why? Because young leftists will go to this ticket. All right? Trump supporters will not, because she's a bat guano crazy leftist Marxist. She is. The reason why she was put on the ticket is because, A, she is young. B, she's rich. And the campaign needs that. They need her money, and they need the money of others who she's been associated with. That's it. All right? Also, the reason why people will leave the Biden ticket for this ticket, the Biden-Harris ticket, for the RFK-Shanahan ticket is, A, RFK doesn't have dementia like Joe Biden, and Shanahan is not an idiot like Kamala Harris. There you go. Please, don't even go there. She is an idiot, all right? Duh. You don't believe me? Listen to her talk. So as of Monday, per Real Politics polling, average Trump held a popular lead vote of 1.7 in a hypothetical one-on-one match. Trump's lead rose to 2.3 in a five-way race, which includes Jill Stein and Cornel West and RFK Jr. and Shanahan. Harvard Harris poll released this week found he commanded as much as 15% of the electorate. So Kennedy's candidacy initially struck a chord with some independents and fringe Republicans drawn to his anti-vax message, blah, blah, blah. Then when people understood how bat guano crazy leftist he was, they went, no, I can't go there. most of which are indistinguishable from the standard Democrat line. Kennedy's support was already starting to track more from Democrats concerned with Biden's age and infirmity, and the fact that, you know, Kamala Harris is an idiot. Shanahan calls herself progressive through and through. Far-left radical millennial ex-wife of Google co-founder Sergey Brin, who divorced her after she was rumored to have an affair with Elon Musk. Well, really? She's a rich one, reportedly having a cool $1 billion from her divorce from Brin, and is worth worth $95 billion at the time. Shanahan has contributed to radical left causes, candidates who have brought California to utter ruin. She donated $700,000 to support the Measure J, a post-George Floyd Los Angeles County criminal justice initiative that defunded law enforcement. She gave $150,000 to support George Gascon's 2020 bid for LADA. She's a radical leftist. Her spending could also gain Kennedy sufficient numbers to qualify for presidential debates, which would make him the first third-party candidate to reach the national stage since Ross Perot in 92. And somebody said that yesterday. It's a reverse of 1992. There you go. Let's go to Sean in Live Oak. He wants to talk about the Key Bridge in Balmer. Sean, welcome to the show.
Yeah, greetings from West Loop Tardy. How's it going?
It's good. What's up?
Well, I wanted to talk about the pathetic, stupid FBI first representative.
Yes.
I was watching some video and it seemed to me that this was a at 8x speed, and it's like the ship steers directly for the pylon. And the other thing that struck me is that the distance between the pylons on the bridge,
there's
a lot of open space. Now, if the ship had gone through that open space, none of this would have happened.
Yes.
So this just what a layperson can see on video, I now have to put this at 80 to 90% chance this is an act of malice.
You know, I got this story here. I kind of leaned away from the story this morning, but I want you to listen to this. There was a CISA conference, Cyber and Infrastructure Security Agency, which, by the way, was one of the organizations involved in censorship of Americans, February of 2024, where the U.S. government confirmed that China compromised U.S. infrastructure via cyber attacks, including transportation. CISA and its U.S. government partners confirmed that the group of PRC state-sponsored cyber actors had compromised entities across multiple critical infrastructure sectors in cyberspace, including communications, energy, transportation, and water and wastewater in the United States and its territories. CISA and its U.S. government partners have gathered strongly suggest that PRC is positioning itself to crunch destructive cyber attacks that would jeopardize the physical safety of Americans and impede military readiness. This including the southern border, Sean, where 30,000 Chinese nationals, most of military age and single males, have come across the southern border. So would I put it past them to be involved in this? Oh, hell no.
Well, they're just one of the many actors that could have done it.
Absolutely. The thing that I saw this morning, and again, I'm on the fence, I saw the sped-up version of the collision, and it appeared to be very deliberate. And another thing that I noticed is there was the pylon, and if the ship had hit a direct blow on the bow, it would have done much more damage to the ship. It did not. It glancing blowed slightly to the right front of the ship. I don't know if that's port or starboard. I'm not a maritime expert. Whatever. And so it looked like a perfect strike to avoid sinking the ship while taking down the bridge. But I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah, well, since you saw the same thing, weren't you struck by the fact that how small the pylon is compared to the space between the pylons?
Of course. It's one in a million shot of actually hitting it directly and knocking it down.
Yeah, so an accident is possible, but it's not very likely, is it?
I don't know. They're saying that the investigation could take years. I'm like, well, you better pull your heads out of your rear ends and figure it out. It should never take 2 years to figure out what the hell happened. It's ridiculous to think otherwise. Sean, I appreciate your call, bro. This is what Lara Logan said yesterday with Steve Bannon, and she raises some really, really interesting questions. And you have people who are saying that this was an economic nuclear bomb. to the city of Baltimore and the Eastern Seaboard.
And I want, you know, I really want to emphasize, Steve, strongly, we are in an undeclared war right now. And these are not my words. I'm not making this up. This is coming from people who really know and who ordinarily would never, ever talk to me. But we've reached a point in this city. I think, you know, if you look at the quote of one of the intelligence analysts that I spoke to, right? I'm just going to read it to you very, very briefly, okay? It's not long, and it really sums it up. He said, they have figured out how to bring us down. As long as you stay away from the teeth of the U.S. military, you can pick the U.S. apart. We are arrogant and ignorant, a lethal combination. Obama said they would fundamentally change America, and they did. We are in a free fall ride on a roller coaster right now. No brakes, just picking up speed. And I would urge people, watch very carefully the people that tell you that this attack doesn't matter. Stop following them on Twitter. Discount everything they say because they're either totally ignorant and useless, or they are a plant. And there's a lot of Anons out there, right? And I follow a lot of Anons. And I appreciate and respect the work that they're doing. But we're in a moment of truth now. We have very, very little time. When you start to shut down, you know...
And we have a compromised president who has received millions of dollars from communist China, including over $70 million to the Penn Biden Center at the University of Pennsylvania.
Hazardous materials and the shipment of fuel, you know what that means. It means everything goes up. It means food goes down.
His son has deep and profound ties to the Chinese Communist Party through several of his LLCs.
You know, the access to food and critical infrastructure, that means that goes down. Prices go up. This is catastrophic for the American people. And
why is China buying all this farmland?
It's catastrophic for this country. But it is a financial and economic attack. If you're not going to see tanks rolling down the street, stop looking at the type of, you know, conventional war and saying to yourself, well, if I don't see this, then it means we're okay. If people need to understand what they're looking at. And for those people who say, well, you know, the FBI, isn't it interesting? Christopher Wray just put this big counterterrorism guy, you know, he put him in charge of the FBI office of Baltimore just yesterday. And this is the guy that's out in front of the cameras already. Well, isn't that amazing, right? Do you believe in coincidences? I don't.
I don't trust the FBI. Again, whenever the FBI immediately discounts what we think immediately, you got to question what the FBI is saying. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show.
If the left tells you to quiet down, get louder. It's the Rob Carson Show.
So the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, National Security Agency, Federal Bureau of Investigation, along with key U.S. and international government agencies, published a joint cybersecurity advisory on malicious activity by the People's Republic of China, state-sponsored cyber actor known as Volt Typhoon, to compromise critical infrastructure and associate actions that could be urgently undertaken by all organizations. China is not our friend, and our president is down with communist China. Is it paranoia to think that maybe China had a hand in the collapse of the Key Bridge? No, it's not, because it's an election year. And you know, and you... come on! I told you, they're gonna... Is this the Black Swan event? Who the hell knows? But we said, oh yeah, they're going to be supply chain. It's going to be interrupted intentionally. There's other stuff going on, too. They're trying to steal the election. I can go on and on. Keep your mind open, obviously. Whenever the FBI is on scene before sunrise and says, oh, yeah, there's nothing here, nothing to see here, I immediately go, you know what? I don't trust the FBI. You know why? Because it's a corrupt organization. It is. The FBI is corrupt to the core. They are. But what about the field agents? Yeah, that's great. Whatever. The FBI is corrupt beyond belief. They are imprisoning people who should not be in jail. They were involved in the 2016 election, absolutely involved in the 2020 election, and they're trying to destroy Donald Trump before this one. Let's go to Christopher in Catonsville. Hello, Christopher. What's going on?
Hi. Real quick, something flashed into my head right just at this second. It was food processing plants. But anyway, yes. I called in to say thanks for the Dr. Ben Carson thing. I like him for VP because he's not swamp connected, and they tried to take him down when he was the housing guy, but that didn't work. It was pretty lame. And he's nothing but logical, and his delivery is way opposite than Trump's. It's very soothing, you know, and reassuring and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, you know, I understand what you're saying, Christopher. I think he's a great guy. He wouldn't be my choice for VP. I think we need charisma a little bit more. Nothing against Ben Carson. He's a brilliant man. He's also a retired physician. I'm not sure that he would want to be the VP at this point. I think we need a little more firebrand. I think we need somebody who is gonna turn things upside down.
Yeah,
I do.
I know. Yeah, I agree with that, too. Somebody solid and kind of loud in a way, sort of, but he, I don't know. He's,
yeah,
you know.
I get you, buddy. Yeah, yeah, listen, respect your opinion. Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. Appreciate the phone call, bro. Appreciate the phone call. Hey, this is kind of funny. This is John Stewart last night. And believe it or not, there are people who actually think that Joe Biden has dementia.
Now, Democrats will say that any criticism like this, especially of Biden, is unfair. Because
yeah, now, by the way, I said that Joe Biden, we're expected to believe that behind the scenes, he is sharp as a tack. He only displays dementia in public. And that's why, you know, duh, the man has dementia.
You just don't know Biden like they know Biden.
President Biden, who I've been around numerous times just in this last year, is sharp. He's focused. He's bright.
He is sharp, intensely probing and detail-oriented and focused.
This is a man who is sharp, who is on top of his game, who knows what's going on.
He's smart. He's on his game.
I was in almost every meeting with the president. And the president...
Oh, please.
Was in front of and on top of it all, coordinating and directing leaders who are in charge of America's national security, not to mention our allies around the globe.
Yeah, sure.
Did anyone film that?
No! yeah, that's what I said.
Because if you're... If you're telling us behind the scenes he is sharp and full of energy and on top of it and really in control and leading, you should film that.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be good to show to people instead of a TikTok where he goes, cookie.
All right. So coming up, we've got the pizza protesters, Scott Lobato, and much more. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Performance.
Seems like all the artist activists are on the left. Ah, except for Scott Lobato.
I do not conform to the elitist isms of the art clubs, and they have left me like a redheaded stepchild. This is my medium in which I shall create, and this is my canvas, the front of the Brooklyn Museum.
The first most important thing in school or anywhere else is the Pledge of Allegiance.
This is not a pro-war protest. This has to do with the increasing level of anti-Americanism.
Joining us on the Newsman Max Hotline is somebody who's become my hero, and his name is Scott Lobato, and he is the guy who is protesting the overregulation of pizza ovens, among other things, in New York City, which is a sacrilege, and I mean that from the depth of my soul. I mean it. He joins us on the Newsmax Hotline. Scott Lobato, welcome to the Rob Carson Show.
How you doing, my friend Rob?
Buddy, I've been following you for a while. You've got my attention in a lot of ways. You're a passionate artist. I like to consider myself to be, to some degree, an artist. I'm a writer, and you are using your power as an artist to reject the nonsense in New York City. One of the biggest things you did is you are protesting, and I do believe this is a sacrilege for the city of New York and the environmental idiots who want to go after coal-fired and wood-fired pizza ovens in New York. New York pizza is not only food, it's a sacrament. It's that wonderful. It's so meaningful to the city, not only because of its flavor and its texture, because of what it means, and that the government would go after those who make it. You know, they just see you throwing pizza, but I want to hear exactly what this means to you.
Being a Staten Island New Yorker for four generations, pizza runs through my blood. I eat it probably three or four times a week. It is a staple. It is New York. People come here for certain things in New York, and pizza is one of them. And the pizza is the symbolism, you know, of me as an artist using pizza as my medium to bring attention to these travesties that are constantly happening in the city and in this country with people like, you know, Mayor de Blasio and obviously now Mayor Adams and the city council of these, the plethora of just haters of small mom-and-pop businesses, haters of the real New York culture. And it just goes to show you, I mean, you see people leaving New York City more than any other state, maybe California, because these mom-and-pop businesses that are struggling are being bombarded by this woke, politically correct bull. And I've been warning people for 35 years about this stuff, and, you know, you'll see that in my documentary. We'll get to that later. So it is, the pizza is symbolic. Because next, I mean, the carcinogens that come out of the pipes from these burger shops that make these hamburgers and stuff, they're next. It's a fact, because it's killing the baby seals, and we don't.
Well, what about this? What about this? What about all the pot smoke? I mean, I've been in Manhattan the last 3 years. Dear God in heaven, you smell pot smoke more than you smell pizza.
It's insane, dude. I'm a cigarette smoker, and every corner has 10 smoke shops. Try to get a pack of cigarettes in one of these new smoke shops.
Lord, yeah. But what, you know, when I look at this regulation of pizza ovens, this is clearly not related to the environment. It is clearly not related to asthma. You know what it is to me, Scott? It's an indignity. What they're doing is they're breaking down people. The government is trying to break down people. This is an indignity. It's like when they didn't visit East Palestine, Ohio. It's an indignity. It's meant to rub your face in things. It's meant to take something away. Something sacred away from people. This is beyond just regulation and concern about health, because everybody knows exactly. That the smell of pizza, it's bullcrap. It's an indignity. It's control. That's what it's all about.
Exactly. The same thing with, you know, I was on the front lines during the whole COVID mandate bullcrap. You know, these mom and pop little bars and restaurants were being humiliated again, breaking people down that built this city. The real New Yorkers. They don't want real New Yorkers here. They want to change everything. That's not how it is. And I will stay here till the day I die and fight for this city that I grew up in my whole life.
Do you think, Scott, that there's beginning to be some pushback on this? You know, I see, like, the pro-Hamas doing a rally at Freedom Tower, which is, to me, such a disgrace, considering how many people, sons and daughters, wives and husbands of the victims still live there. Do you think maybe there's beginning to be some pushback on this, or are people just throwing up their hands? I know that 50% of people want to leave New York City.
Yeah, absolutely. I do see a turnaround coming. I mean, you think about it, about 20 years ago, we were red. We had Pataki as the governor. We had Giuliani as the mayor. We can be red again, and I really feel this time around we will. Why? It's called, like my good friend Curtis Lewis says, it's pain compliant. People need to feel, people need to know, have their daughters get raped, their grandmothers cracked in the head with a hammer, pushed in front of a train, their brother police officer slain, and it's happening to people. Criminals don't go after Republicans and say, oh, there's the hard work. Criminals pick anybody, and they're picking Democrats harder because there's more Democrats in the city, and they're feeling it. Mom and pops, we have the black community coming over our side. The black community, I've been pushing them forever. People call me a racist because I call it out. Why are you listening to these people for 30, 60, 70 years? You're listening to these Democrats promise you nothing, and they keep destroying the mom-and-pop businesses, which are owned by the blacks, Latinos, and the quiet Asians are now coming out in droves. So I do see the tide turning. Sadly, it took this beat down to happen for people to finally wake up.
You know, Scott, I didn't become a nationally syndicated radio show host until a couple of years ago, and I knew when I did this that I was going to become a target, and I've been able to maneuver around it pretty well. I handle criticism very well because I look at trolls and I destroy them with my humor. You put yourself in the crosshairs of the left. What have you endured since you really started fighting back against the system in New York?
I started back in the 90s when I saw it. You know, I went to the big city from Staten Island in Manhattan to find myself as an artist. Where am I fitting in? And I saw this hatred towards America, our flag, our military. And I said, no way, I don't want any part of this. And that's the same time I saw this beast called wokeism and political correctness in the 90s pop up. And I said, I have to use whatever gift I have to let people know, to warn people. I'm not a prophet, but as an artist, you have vision. And just as an American, you see the turnover. And believe me, the art world threw me under the bus. They destroyed.
Oh, you know, yes.
When you're an artist, you're supposed to be different in the art world. And I was the most different one because I had a different ideology and philosophy. And they said, nope, you're out. And I said, I don't want to be any part of you. So I've been beaten severely, physically and verbally, by many on the left because, I, like you, I don't give a flying F. I have a mission, and I am going to do it.
Well, you know, we are some. We are, you know, in many ways brothers as artists. I'm a comedy writer. I'm a writer. I'm a performer. And Hollywood is dominated. I wanted to be Johnny Carson. I wanted to be that. That's what I wanted. I found out a long time ago when people found out that I wrote for Rush Limbaugh for 20 years of my life. That killed all of my aspirations. I had Oprah Winfrey's producer tell me they thought I was the greatest thing. They literally said, "Where have you been?" When they found out I wrote for Limbaugh, they never call me back. And so I know what it's like in my field to be ostracized. I like to call it conservative apartheid. And Scott, you know it as well as I do. For 30 plus years, we've had conservative apartheid across the board, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., in the art world. And you know what I'm talking about. As soon as they know you're a Trump supporter, as soon as you know whatever, you're on the outs. You can't make money. It's really, really hard to do.
But I will tell you this, dude. It's changing. See, people like you and I and a few others, we followed our beliefs. We didn't follow the money train. I could have followed that money train. There was something bigger, something bigger. And the tide is changing. You see all these black rappers coming out. Hollywood is changing. This movie that's coming out, The Relentless Patriot, it's about my 35 years of doing this. It's insane. Yes. It's beautiful. It's a wake-up call. And who do we have behind it? The director is an out-of-the-closet conservative director. The studio, Global Ascension Studio, they're now part of Hollywood. They're opening up the can of worms, getting, you know, Torch Entertainment. These people are conservatives that said, it's changing now. The trend is changing. We don't want to, us artists, you'll admit this as well, we don't want to take over the arts and say, make it all conservative. No, we just want our fair share. That's what art is supposed to be, equal. Hollywood, the arts, painting, writing, music, and it's changing, and I feel very happy that I made those risks and chances, and I know you do too, and call it egotistical, call it narcissistic. I put my time in. I lost everything. I sacrificed family, everything, because I saw this golden moment to fix this country because I knew it was going to crash and burn. And here we are at the 11th hour. At the 11th hour we're at, brother, and you know that. And
I know it is. And up. Dude, I'm going to tell you, now I can add one to the list. I said that I would fight and die for the United States of America. I would fight and die for Israel. And I would fight and die for New York pizza. And I ain't screwing around.
Like I said, when I do the pizza, give us pizza or give us death.
Hey, you know what?
Tea party. Had our tea party, and I had the New York pizza party.
You know what I would do? Even if you threw the pizza and it landed on the ground, I would dust it right off and eat it. I'll tell you that right now. So and I've seen your trailer on this, The Relentless Patriot. It is really tight, man. It looks really good. Tell me about it and where we can watch it.
It is, you know, like I said, I've been doing these battles, fighting. I've been arrested dozens of times, you know, warning people, you know, all the political correctness. I went up against D.A. Bragg. I poured fake blood. You saw that in the film. In front of his office, you know, children's friendly paint, so it wasn't damaging. And I embarrassed him, and I brought attention to the insanity. I mean, look what's happening. Look what's happening in this city. This cop that just got slaughtered, I'll be at his funeral because I am a big advocate for the police. Even the cops that arrested me. This mayor sent 50 cops to arrest me for littering, throwing that piece.
Wow.
And I said, see these police officers behind me? I told the media, this is not their fault. They are told to do this. I don't want any of these guys losing their job, so I will take this heat because it's not them. They don't want to arrest me. This mayor is forcing them to do it, and it's a disgrace. Meanwhile, what? We're getting people slaughtered in the streets day by day, and they're in and out of jail. And I got cuffed and locked up by this man, and it embarrassed him more than he tried to embarrass me.
Yeah.
Because it blew up. The whole world saw this, that a man throwing a piece of pizza, biodegradable, was arrested, handcuffed for littering. So this is what the movie's about. It's about all of these things I went up against. It's traveling the country, painting American flags on every building in every state to bring attention to our veterans and our military. And it's just a beautiful, it's a wake-up call. Yes, it's about me and my work, but it is the 11th hour to wake up the last bit of people. It's a battle cry. And it hits theaters June 14th, which is Flag Day, and Donald Trump's birthday.
And my daughter's birthday. It's my daughter's birthday, too.
I'm so jealous. But if you want to see the trailer, folks, just go to scottlobato.com. It's right there. It'll fire you up. And
I love it.
The movie's going to be like The Sound of Freedom, grassroots with these conservative folks, and it's going to blow up, and it's going to really wake people up at the last.
I want to ask, as an artist, and I've seen your work, it's freaking beautiful. You really do some beautiful work. Obviously, I don't think you're charging as much as Hunter Biden, but I mean, I would love to get a piece of your art, bro. Where can people go and buy your art?
On my website, scottlobato.com. I have prints and some small stuff, and then I have originals, which vary from prices.
I love it.
You know, and now after this movie comes out, you know, my prices are going to go really high. You know, it's like, forget about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is not tangible. Be honest. I'm 60 years old. I smoke. I drink. I'll be dead in 10. You want an investment? Buy Scott LaBeouf's artwork or any artist.
Oh, I think you're going to live longer than that, bro. I think you would kick cancer's ass if it ever hit you. Buddy, I just want to tell you, and from a guy who lives in the Midwest, I've lived all over the country, you really connected with me on a personal level with regard to the art and to be what you've been through, and yet to soldier on and just and say bleep you to the people in charge there. And the pizza thing really pissed the hell out of me. And I just wish you the very best. It's Scott LaBeouf, LaBeaiDo, right?
LoBaiDo.
Okay, sorry, dude. I will post on social media, and I want you to know you have a place on this show. As the debut date approaches, I want to have you back on us. That's cool, okay?
And anytime, I'm on top of every subject there is, brother.
Oh, then you're a regular. Have you on.
I like to talk.
Well, I'm a boy from Iowa, so I do the same thing. All right, man, have a glorious day. Scott, we'll talk again soon.
God bless you, Rob.
You too, brother. Let's take a break. It's the Rob Carson Show.
They're not given the respect. The police are the greatest people we have. There's nothing and there's nobody like them, and this should never happen. I just visited with a very beautiful wife that now doesn't have her husband. Stephanie was... just incredible. Their child, brand new, beautiful baby, sitting there, innocent as can be, and doesn't know how his life has been changed. But the Diller family will, you'll never be the same. You can never be the same. And we have to stop it. We have to stop it. We have to get back to law and order. We have to do a lot of things differently because this is not working. This is happening too often.
Yes, it's Donald Trump. At the funeral of Officer Jonathan Diller in New York, your president, President Doofy, was in New York for a big fundraiser. He was at, he's going to the, what is it, with Radio City Music Hall tonight, I guess. Barack Obama's there. He was, he took the short stairs, too, right after Joe Biden from Air Force One. Barack Obama, of course, we know, is calling the shots now. In Washington, D.C. And American people are angry. American people are done. Black, white, yellow, doesn't even matter. We're just done. We're done with the nonsense. We're done. We're done being played with. We're done being lied to. We're done being lied to about the southern border. We know that we are invaded by an army. We know that somebody's trying to take down this country. And we are just waiting for the marching orders to kick its ass. Truly. This is Darren Beatty, Revolver News. I want you to listen to Darren Beatty, Revolver News, about what's going on in our country and what would happen if it happened in China, in Chinese, communist China.
We all know that Mao is one of the great villains of history. But consider this hypothetical. If one of Mao's advisors, would go up to him and say, Chairman, I have a great idea. We need to open China's borders. We need to welcome enthusiastically millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of immigrants, but let's make sure they're from the most dysfunctional and violent and economically dilapidated societies in the world. Let's select and make sure they're all from these places.
Yep.
Let's have them flood in the country decade after decade, generation after generation. Let's reorganize our institutions such that we give all of these newcomers a leg up and give them preferences over our own native Chinese and Chinese citizens. And let's aim to have a policy such that within 100 years, China will no longer be Chinese. I submit to you, Steve, that even Mao in that hypothetical scenario would look at this hypothetical advisor and say, you are an evil son of a bee.
Absolutely.
And the shot around the world was the start of the revolution. The Minutemen were ready on the move. Take your powder, take your gun, report to General Washington. Hurry, man, there's not an hour to lose.
Yeah, here's what I say. You got to stay focused. Stay focused. No matter what happens, you got to stay focused. Focused as the founders. And stay optimistic. That's really important. You got to have your morale up. You got to believe in what you're doing. And you got to be willing to tell the people in Washington, D.C., you're just done with it. You're not going to play around anymore. That if they continue down this path, it's not going to end well for them. I'm not talking about a violent revolution. I'm talking about become ungovernable. They are getting the point, and they're fighting us for everything they're worth, and we're going to win. All right, there you go. Let's take a break and come back, wrap this up. This is The Rob Carson Show. Ooh, it was an epic show today. You'll definitely want to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. Under Rob Carson Show, ask Alexa to play the latest episode of The Rob Carson Show and share it with others because it's epic and it's inspiring, hopefully. Have a glorious day. God bless and save America. And we will see you tomorrow where it's a TGIF. In the meantime, don't catch the stupid.